Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dr. Claflin, I've asked you to stop offering that song on Sunday mornings because it makes my mascara run before I get into the pulpit. We can talk about it on Monday. With all the extra fun we're having this morning, the sermon today must be short and sweet, but luckily and coincidentally, that is my nickname, so we should be fine. All right, I'm going to ask you to take 10 seconds to look around this room and find everything you can that is red. Count how many red things, objects, items you can find in this room. Let's see how big that number can be. Take 10 seconds. Here we go.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Remember, you can turn around. 2, 1. Zero. Okay, now close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and keep them closed until I invite you to open them. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. How many yellow things did you see? You don't have to shout out an answer, but just take an inventory in your mind. How many yellow things did you see? Probably not many. Maybe zero, you're thinking. I invite you to open your eyes now and look around. I see yellow here, I see yellow here. The gentleman in the balcony is wearing yellow. If we look at the front window, the Ten Commandments up in the upper left-hand corner, is that yellow? I'm not sure, but if your goal was to look for yellow, I bet you would have counted it. The fringe on the flags is yellow, the angel's wings and the stained glass, there is in fact yellow all around. But because you were looking for red, you might not have, you probably didn't see that. We see what we look for, and we don't even realize what we're missing. This is how we can live on the same planet, but in so many different worlds. Imagine if I had been able to do that little experiment, but instructed half of you to look for red things and half of you to look for green things. Each group would have been quite convinced that there were almost no objects of the other group's color. We see what we look for. So what are we looking for? And what directs our gaze? I think much of the world, at the moment, is guided by anxiety, fear. That's been true for thousands of years. That's one thing we learn from our reading this morning, in which we hear about a new pharaoh rising to power in Egypt, and he is afraid. He has forgotten the history of his people's connection with the people of Israel. He's forgotten the story of Joseph and his legendary service to the nation. And so instead of looking around at the Israelites and seeing friends and neighbors, he looks for enemies. And just like in our little exercise, Pharaoh finds exactly what he's looking for. Even more than that, though, he creates what he's looking for. Just as we might have done, if the object was yellow, yeah, that's yellow. It's probably orange. But we create what we're looking for. We'll add that to the tally. Imagining the Israelites to be future insurrectionists or even allies with hostile foreign powers, Pharaoh chooses to oppress them. He turns them into slaves and prisoners, determined to keep them under his heel. As the text says, the Egyptians were ruthless. Pharaoh looks around with fear and sees a terrifying world. What if he had looked with faith? What would he have seen? Would he have remembered the story of Joseph, a man born of God's promise, a man whose life was an unfolding of God's promise, a man through whom God's covenantal blessing to Abraham was kept and extended? Would he then have seen the Israelites around him as further embodiments and fulfillments of God's promise, further signs of God's enduring faithfulness? Would he have seen them, in other words, as children of God? The Pharaoh's fear made him ruthless. Would faith have made him merciful? We know which path the world has chosen. and continues to choose over and over and over again. Why? Why? Perhaps it's because fear, ironically, feels so safe. It feels like the smart approach. Better to err on the side of caution, right? Get them before they get you. That feels wise. But remember, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. And if we're honest, we know that. We've seen it for ourselves, haven't we? History is an almost unending folly, full of pharaohs from one nation or another, one era or another, taking the same approach. And their fear and violence always, always, always begets more fear and violence. As the Apostle Paul reminded us, we reap what we sow. And those seeds bear only those fruits. Fear is a self-fulfilling prophecy. But faith, too, is self-fulfilling. While fear turns neighbors into enemies, faith, put into action as love, turns enemies into neighbors, whom Jesus Christ himself calls us to love and serve. Which of these two powerful forces will guide our vision? Which of these two powerful forces will shape our action? We're bound to fall short, certainly. This is what we confess together every Sunday morning, remember? We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. That's true. But it is the great purpose and wonder of this church that every week we not only confess our bondage to sin, but we hear and receive the promise of grace, that we are nevertheless loved by God, that we are nevertheless vessels through whom the Holy Spirit really can and will work. This is how God sees us, all of us, Egyptians and Israelites. No matter what the pharaohs of the world see, no matter how they try to make us see, the gospel is this, that every single person you see, including the one in the mirror, by the way, is a child of God. Hear that again this morning. And I pray that your heart is so chock full of God's love and grace by the time you leave this place that it can't help but overflow from you all week until we meet here again. You are sent out with eyes of faith, and God commands you to look for as many neighbors as you can find. I know and pray and trust that you will see them. Amen.